Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is August 22nd, 2005, and this is the Golden Age of Comic Books. Welcome, everybody, to the show. We are very glad you're here. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. We've got a great show ahead today. We're going to talk about The Golden Age Spirit by the great Will Eisner, and we're going to talk about some other Golden Age comic books of rarity and importance. But before we do that, I wanted to spend a little bit more time talking about the computer program called Comic Base by Human Computing. I've mentioned this program in some of our previous podcasts, and after picking up version 10 of the program at the San Diego Comic-Con International, I've spent some additional time playing with it and learning some of the features, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about it in the show today. If you're interested in a computer program that will allow you to catalog your comic books, to learn a little bit more about your comic books, to learn about the values of your comic books, and things such as that, I would highly recommend this program. Comic Base 10 not only has a wonderful listing of comic books from the Golden Age to the Modern Age, but it has a lot of other wonderful features built into it. It has pricing that's updated monthly by the folks from the Comic Buyer's Guide, along with Comic Base. Every week, as the new books come out, an update is published that you can download online, and it will enhance your database to include all of the new comics of the week, which is a really great feature. In addition to the pricing information, this program also has cover images, if you buy the archive edition, from well over 20,000 comic books. And what's really neat about this feature is if you park your mouse over the issue that you're interested in looking at, after a second, a small cover image will pop up on the screen so you can see the comic book that you're interested in looking at. And if you hold your mouse on that image for just a few seconds longer, a large high-resolution image will pop up on the screen so you can see some of the fine details of the comic. This was a really great feature, and I've enjoyed it immensely, particularly in looking at Golden Age comic books. Last week, we talked about the Photo Journal of Comic Books put out by Ernie and Mary Gerber. Well, Comic Base really offers the same features in a digital format. You can have all these covers instantly available by just clicking your mouse, and it's really a great feature if you want to look at a lot of the various cover images of the Golden Age comics, Bronze, Silver Age, and Modern Age comics. You don't have to have the Gerber Photo Journal, or don't even have to go to the Grand Comic Book Database Project website, which I would always encourage you to do. But with Comic Base, if you want to make an investment in the software, the archive edition, you have all these comic covers on your computer. So really a great feature there. Now, another feature that I've enjoyed playing with is the feature that allows you to use a barcode reader to actually scan in comics. Even though I'm an aficionado of Golden Age comic books, and that's where my focus seems to lie, I do still buy current comics every week, and it's great to be able to get a barcode reader and simply scan the barcode and have those comics immediately pop up on the screen so you can input how many issues you have, and then they're in your database and you don't have to worry about inputting them beyond that. Another feature with the barcode reader is you can use Comic Base to print labels to put on your comics, and those labels can have barcodes built into them so that if you ever want to look up a particular comic in your collection, all you have to do is pull it off the shelf, scan it with the barcode scanner, and it'll pop it up right there on your screen. So really some neat features in Comic Base 10. If you're interested in this program, go to comicbase.com, take a look at the various features that are available. Pete Bickford, who is the owner of Human Computing and who has done such a wonderful job putting this software together, is always available by email to answer questions. There is a demo version of the program available, and it's just fantastic. I think the demo version is a full-featured version, although it only has a fraction of the comics entered into it that you would get with the full version. There are various versions available, a basic version and an archive edition. The archive edition comes on two DVDs and has just a huge amount of data available, comic book covers, movies, etc., built into that program. So it's really a great program, and I think it's worth the money. And like I've said, I've been using my version of Comic Base for many years. I'm not sure what version I started with, but my copies go back many years, and I've enjoyed using it throughout the years. And Pete and his crew have made wonderful improvements over those years. In fact, if you have a PDA, a Palm Pilot, or something like that, you can actually use Comic Base to load your database into your PDA so that if you're at a comic book show or in a comic book shop and you're not sure exactly what issues you have, you can pull out your PDA and take a look at it and decide whether or not you need that issue that's on display there at the show or at the shop. It has a full-featured reporting function as well if you want to print out reports about your collection. It has all kinds of different ways to do that. So really a great program, and I would encourage everybody to go over to comicbase.com, check it out, play with the demo version, and I bet you'll be interested in picking up a copy. Now, I mentioned that there are some other rare and special books that I was going to talk about today before I talked about Will Eisner's The Spirit. So let me do that right now. Back during World War II, DC Comics put out several books they called special editions. There were six of these issues, and they were put out for members of the United States Navy. These were not sold. These were given away to the members of the United States Navy. Apparently, the dialogue in the comics that were part of the special edition program were not as verbose, I guess I would say, as the books that were sold on the newsstands at the time. I believe I've read somewhere that the wording was actually simplified in those books as they were given away to the members of the United States Navy. But it's interesting that these books were put out by DC. They are very collectible and very hard to find. As I said, there were six of these issues. The first issue, number one, was put out in 1944, and it was a reprint of Action Comics number 80. The second issue was put out in 1944. It was a reprint of Action 81. The third issue reprinted Superman number 33. That was in 1944. The fourth issue reprinted Detective Comics number 97. That was also in 1944. Then in 1945, the fifth issue was put out. That reprinted Superman number 34. And finally, the sixth issue was put out in 1945. And it reprinted Action Comics number 84. So, take a look at these. I think you can find them on the Grand Comic Book Database website, and you can take a look at those rare special edition books that were put out by DC in 1944 and 1945. Well, let's talk about the Golden Age character that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the Spirit. The Spirit was created by the great Will Eisner, who we unfortunately lost this year. The Eisner Awards are the premier comic book awards given out to artists and writers of comic books every year, and they're named after the great Will Eisner, who created The Spirit. Eisner was 22 years old when he created The Spirit. The first issue of The Spirit appeared on June 2nd, 1940. Now, you might be thinking, if you're not familiar with The Spirit, that this was another superhero comic book that appeared on the newsstands, and that's not quite right. It was, in its own way, a comic book, but The Spirit did not appear on the newsstands. Eisner was approached and asked to create a comic book insert that would go into the Sunday newspapers around the country in a comic book format, and he did so and created, along with other characters, The Spirit for this particular format. These newspaper inserts were syndicated, and I believe the first few months of the run, there were five newspapers in which The Spirit sections appeared, and then ultimately at the end of the run, they were appearing in about 20 newspapers, as indicated by Will Eisner in his introduction to the first Spirit Archive volume that we'll talk about in just a little while. But the Spirit was very similar, in my opinion, to the Batman. He didn't run around in a bat suit, and he didn't swing from rooftops on ropes and things like that, but he was a criminologist, a detective, and was very athletic and just a great fighter. And it started out as a gentleman named Denny Colt. He was a private detective and was well known by the police department and assisted the police department on many occasions in solving crimes. The Spirit was working with Commissioner Dolan of the police department to apprehend a criminal known as Dr. Cobra. And the Spirit was, of course, interested. Actually, he wasn't the Spirit then. He was just known as Denny Colt. But he was interested in apprehending the Cobra for the large reward that was being offered for his capture. And so Denny Colt, after talking to Commissioner Dolan, went to the hideout of Dr. Cobra and attempted to apprehend him. And during the course of the battle that ensued between Dr. Cobra and the Spirit, a chemical was spilled upon the Spirit, a chemical that had been created by Dr. Cobra that apparently killed Denny Colt. Dolan and his police officers arrived at the scene a little bit later and found Denny Colt lying on the floor, apparently dead. He was stiff as a board, and when the medical examiner appeared on the scene, he indicated that Denny Colt was dead, that rigor mortis had already set in due to the stiffness of his body. And so he was declared dead, and his obituary appeared in the paper, and he was taken to a cemetery called Wildwood Cemetery and buried. Well, later on, the Spirit turns out, or Denny Colt, it turns out, wasn't dead. The chemical that he had been sprayed with from Dr. Cobra's laboratory was actually a formula that caused him to go into a temporary state of suspended animation. And after the chemicals wore off and he came to, he escaped from his grave and decided that as a crime fighter, he could be much more effective by not being the well-known criminologist Denny Colt, but by being someone who would work in the shadows, and he called himself the Spirit. And so the Spirit was born out of the death of Denny Colt at Wildwood Cemetery. The Spirit decided after his first adventure that he would make his home in Wildwood Cemetery, and in his later adventures throughout the course of the run of the Spirit sections, the Spirit's home was often featured as being below the tombstones in the cemetery, and had a pretty nice home with a laboratory to do his criminology work and all that, but underneath the graves of the cemetery. Later on in the Spirit stories, he also got himself a sidekick, like so many of the superheroes of the Golden Age did, and Ebony White, an African-American taxicab driver who first appeared in the first Spirit adventure, became the Spirit's sidekick and often was comic relief in many of the Spirit stories. And Ebony fancied himself to be an amateur detective as well, and very often assisted the Spirit in solving crimes. The Spirit had some very colorful supporting casts throughout the years. Of course, I mentioned Commissioner Dolan, who was always there to support the Spirit in his crime-fighting endeavors. Commissioner Dolan had a daughter named Ellen, who appeared in the second Spirit adventure, and she very quickly, in the run of the Spirit, became a love interest for the Spirit, and that continued on throughout the years and the run of the Spirit in the Sunday Funnies. In addition to Ellen Dolan, there were a lot of other women in Spirit's life. The Black Queen, Silk Satin, Pajel, and others, Sans Serif, to name a few. There were also many villains who the Spirit encountered throughout his run, Mr. Carrion and his pet buzzer Julia, the Octopus, and many, many others. Now, as I said, the Spirit was a crime fighter. He very often engaged in detective activities such as the Batman would, and often saw very complicated and difficult crimes, sometimes much to the chagrin of Commissioner Dolan, who wanted credit for solving those crimes. But the Spirit would solve them and many times give Dolan the credit. Also, the Spirit on occasion acted as an agent for the United States government. He was in many stories overseas, particularly during the war years, acting as an agent to assist the United States in its various efforts. The Spirit was always unmatched in any fights that he got into. Very rarely did he lose a fight. And as I said, was just a wonderful detective and always came out on top of just about everything he intended to do. Now, the Spirit sections ran in the various Sunday newspapers, as I said, from June 2nd, 1940, all the way until October 5th, 1952. So a 12-year run of the Spirit in the Sunday Funnies in which he appeared. The spirit sections were originally written and drawn by Will Eisner. Eisner was an absolute master at storytelling. In addition to drawing the strip, his storytelling skills were simply unmatched, and his spirit sections set the tone for many, many artistic endeavors in the comic book world for years to come. Unfortunately, in 1942, Will Eisner was drafted into the United States Army during World War II, and although he initially tried to continue working on the spirit section, the Army wouldn't allow him to do that, and the chores of writing and drawing the spirit were left to others. The primary artist who worked on the spirit during the time that Eisner was absent and in the Army were Lou Fine and Jack Cole. Of course, Jack Cole was of Plastic Man fame. It was pretty well known that the Lou Fine renditions of the spirit were just not as crisp and clean as those of Eisner and not as interesting. And fortunately, in 1945, right around Christmas, with the December 23rd, 1945 issue of the spirit section, Eisner was back. And his maturity that he had gained during the war and his desire to experiment with other artistic formats resulted in a much more vivid and much more interesting spirit section throughout the course of the 1940s that remained and on into the early 1950s. And so it's fairly well believed that the spirit sections after the return of Will Eisner from the Army are much more interesting and certainly much more sought after. Now, the spirit sections continued, as I mentioned, until 1952. In July of 1952, particularly with the July 27th spirit section, Wally Wood took over the chores of writing and drawing the spirit. And these were very memorable stories that appeared between July 27, 1952 and September 28, 1952. Wood, of course, was one of the main artists at EC Comics, having been involved in drawing many of their science fiction stories over the years. And so he was a natural to draw the spirit sections that appeared starting in July of 1952, where the spirit traveled to the moon. And throughout the course of the stories that appeared between July and September of 1952, the spirit was on the moon and involved in space travel, and the stories had a definite science fiction twist to them. Unfortunately, after the spirit sections where the spirit was on the moon as drawn by Wally Wood, Will Eisner drew the very last spirit section on October 5th, 1952, and decided that it was time to move his artistic life into another direction, and so he stopped drawing the spirit sections at that time. But that was not the end of the spirit. The spirit appeared in comic magazines throughout the course of the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s, and many reprints of the spirit sections were published during these periods of time. Harvey Magazines published a spirit magazine, and then Kitchen Sink Press published a number of spirit reprints during the 1980s and 1990s. But in 2000, a wonderful event occurred. And in that year, DC Comics, along with Will Eisner, decided to begin to publish DC Archive editions featuring the entire run of the spirit sections that began in June of 1940. On through the end of the run in 1952. And so in 2000, the very first of the Spirit Archive editions was published by DC, and it published the first 6 months of the Spirit sections, the June 2nd, 1940 Spirit section through the December 29th, 1940 Spirit section. And this Archive edition has a wonderful introduction by Will Eisner himself, talking about the history of the Spirit, the creation of the character, his motivations, and all of those things that led to the creation of such a memorable and wonderful character as the Spirit. Fortunately, DC has continued to publish the Spirit Archives, and the last edition that was published was edition number 16, and it contains the Spirit sections from January 4th, 1948 through June 27, 1948. And this book was recently published in 2005, this year. And DC will continue to publish the Spirit Archive issues until they reach the final Spirit section that was published in October of 1952. So if you're interested in reading The Adventures of the Spirit from the start all the way through the finish, go ahead and start picking up copies of the Spirit Archives. They each have a cover price of $49.95, but I know that they can be acquired for less than that through comic book shops, through Amazon.com, and through other sources. It's just a wonderful read to sit down and start with the very first Spirit story and read through these archives. I've talked about a lot of archive editions in my podcast, and I try to read a number of them, but it's always the Spirit Archives that I look forward to getting when they come out, and normally I'll sit down and read them cover to cover very quickly because I just simply enjoy the Spirit stories more than any other stories that were published during the Golden Age of comics. So if you're interested in not only learning about a Golden Age superhero called the Spirit, but if you're interested in looking at some of the most pioneering of the artwork and storytelling that occurred in the Golden Age of comics, then go out and pick up some of the Spirit reprints as found in the archives or other reprint sources of the Spirit, and I know you will not be disappointed at all. And by the way, if you're wanting to learn about the values of some of the Spirit sections, the original newspaper Spirit sections that were published during the 1940s and early 1950s, and you have a copy of the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, the recent edition of the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, you may not be able to find the Spirit sections in the main section of the price guide, and that's because they are listed in the price guide under promotional comics. That's because the Spirit sections were giveaways primarily designed to promote the sales of the Sunday newspapers of the in the cities where they were appearing, and so you're not going to find them in the conventional comic book section of the comic book price guide. So take a look under the promotional section and you'll find the Spirit sections listed there. That's where you'll also find the special edition comics that I mentioned earlier in the podcast as well, and a number of other giveaway comics that have been published throughout the years through the Golden Age of comics and on into the modern age of comics. Now, I should have mentioned earlier about the Spirit and his costume that he wore as a crime fighter in the Spirit section stories that appeared throughout the 40s and early 50s. The Spirit, as I said earlier, did not run around in a traditional superhero suit. He actually wore his blue suit, just a regular suit with a tie, a blue fedora, a black mask, blue gloves, and just regular street shoes. And one controversy that has existed that I've seen written about in some of the fan magazines has been whether or not the Spirit wore socks. And if you look at some of the Spirit stories that appear in the various reprints and the archive editions and otherwise, it sometimes appears that the Spirit is not wearing socks. Will Eisner sort of dispelled that myth in an interview that was done with him, and he said, well, of course he does, but I'll leave it up to you, the listeners and the readers of the Spirit sections, to determine whether or not the Spirit in his stories wore socks. And I won't start that controversy here, but I'll be interested in some of your opinions and comments on the website about that issue. Not that it's an important issue, mind you, in the Golden Age of comics, but it's certainly one that I've seen written about and talked about on several occasions. Well, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about the Spirit as written and drawn by the great Will Eisner, the special edition giveaways by DC Comics during World War II, and the comic-based computer program. I hope that I did justice to the Spirit. I can't tell you enough how important it is to experience the Spirit visually. Eisner was such a master at the visual art form that it's hard to describe how wonderful the Spirit sections were in terms of their visual appeal. And so again, I would encourage you, if you're interested in really getting a glimpse into some of the finest storytelling of the Golden Age of comics, go out and get some of these Spirit sections through the archive editions or otherwise and check them out. They are just simply fantastic. Once again, we thank everybody for being here this week. Please don't forget to visit the Grand Comic Book Database Project website at comics.org. Wonderful resource for comic book collecting. It has some of the most complete details about comic book stories and comic books generally that can be found anywhere. And I would encourage you to support that effort. If you have some comic books that you don't find on their website that need to be indexed, well, volunteer and index those comics so that they'll have even a more complete and accurate history of comic books as they are published throughout the years. Please also support the Actor Comic Book Fund, actorcomicfund.org. This fund supports individuals who have brought us the various ages of comic books who may need financial assistance for various necessities of life. Certainly, it's important to support those individuals who brought us the Golden Age of Comics. Again, their website is actorcomicfund.org. Please visit our website, goldenagecomics.org. Also, our blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. If you go to the blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com, you can leave comments about the various podcasts. I also have there very abbreviated show notes about the podcast that I've done. And usually there's a cover image regarding the main topic of the podcast of that particular week. So go check that out. I think you'll enjoy seeing some of the cover images that we have there on the blog page. Also, I appreciate the votes that I've gotten at podcastalley.com. If you have a couple of minutes and you don't mind, travel on over to podcastalley.com and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comics podcast. I appreciate everybody's support, and you let me know by your vote that you enjoy the topics that we cover here and that you want to hear more. So give us a vote at podcastalley.com, and we would greatly appreciate it. And of course, if you want to hear different topics, or if you want to comment to me about some of the topics we've had, or if you want to discuss any particular issues related to the Golden Age of Comics, drop me an email at comics@goldenagecomics.org. I love getting the emails that I've gotten about the podcast, and I'll be happy to respond to any emails that I get about the Golden Age of Comics. So thank you again for joining us this week. We hope to have another great show coming up next time, and we look forward to seeing you then.